welcome everyone to our Sunday worship experience. We want to welcome you for tuning in, and we thank God for you. This is Pastor Brian from Chapel of Change, and if you're part of Chapel of Change, we want to let you know that I miss you. We love you, and we cannot wait to be together again in corporate worship and praise. So the Lord bless you, all our different campuses. Merced campus, God bless you. Long Beach campus, God bless you. Carson campus, Whittier campus, Paramount campus, God bless you. I want to thank everybody in here for turning your living room into a sanctuary. Such a powerful thing to do, to turn your living room into a sanctuary. I believe there's a blessing in that. There is a blessing in turning your living room into a sanctuary. So do me a favor, if you have not hit shared on your Facebook, if you're watching by Facebook, hit share. I'm going to give you a moment right now. Hit share so that other people can watch what God is doing and get into the Word this afternoon. Want to send a shout out to a couple people watching, our sister Elaine Grimm. God bless you. I should say one of our church mothers, Sister Elaine, God bless you. Sylvia, God bless you. David Velasquez, God bless you. Jeremy, watching all the way from Ontario, God bless you. Patricia, God bless you. Simi, God bless you. God bless Josie Young, one of our church mothers. We love you and the family. Thanks for tuning in. Eric, God bless you. Jonathan, God bless you. By the way, I think Jonathan is going to have, or at least Tani, his wife, is going to have a baby, I believe, this week or next week. So keep them in prayer to the glory of God. Priscilla from North Long Beach, God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Our brother Pastor Benny tuning in from the hospital at Francis Hospital Campus. Oh, the brother turned... Brother Pastor Benny turned his hospital room into a campus. Amen. We got a Chapel of Change at St. Francis Hospital in the city of Linwood. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sister Elsa, God bless you. Tamara from Long Beach, God bless you and your daughter. Carlene from our Long Beach campus, happy birthday to you. The Lord bless you and the Lord bless your mother. We're praying for your mother. And just thanks for tuning in and being a part of our church. Sister Stephanie from the Long Beach, that lives in Long Beach, but she's actually from our Paramount campus. God bless you. We miss you and we love you. Sister Deborah, God bless you. Elda from the Merced campus, God bless you. Sister Jessica, all the way from Ontario, watching. Big Tone, watching. Big Tone, God bless you and the family. Thanks for tuning in as well. Now, if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do because you're at home, you got to have a Bible at your house, get your Bibles and let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, is going to be our focus for today's study. If you're able, I want to invite you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Come on, little Raymond. Come on, Abraham. Let's stand to our feet. Come on, somebody. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. Ryan and Carson, stand to your feet. Let's go for the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, allow your word to mold us and to shape us, Lord. Feed us even now, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. And let the church say, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We are talking and teaching on Sundays about the subject of slaying insecurity. Slaying insecurity. Someone say that with me. Slaying insecurity. And we are learning that insecurity is the lie that you're not good enough. What is insecurity? It is the lie that you're incomplete. What is insecurity? It is the lie that you lack what it takes. What is insecurity? It is the lie that you're not good enough. Every time we bow down to those lies, we are bowing down to the spirit of insecurity. What is insecurity? It is a lie that you are incomplete. It is a lie that you lack what it takes. It is the lie that you are not good enough. And we are learning as a church to stand up and fight. We're learning as a church to fight back. We're learning as a church to use the word of God as a sword to slay the spirit of insecurity. How do we slay insecurity? How do we slay insecurity? Well, every week I've been giving you a declaration that is rooted in the word of God. And those declarations, because they are rooted in the word of God, are our spiritual swords that we are to pull out and slay insecurity every time it tries to wrap around our necks. Every declaration that I've been teaching you since the beginning of the series, they are spiritual swords. You see this sword? I like this sword. Makes me feel like Conan when I kind of pick this sword up. And I want you to see yourself like that. I want you to see yourself that in Christ Jesus, you're stronger than a spiritual Conan. In Christ Jesus, you have a spiritual sword where you can slay the spirit of insecurity. And I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, it is time to fight. It is time to fight the good fight of faith. We are no longer going to lay down to insecurity. We are no longer going to back down to insecurity. We're going to fight. In the name of Jesus. That's what Jesus did. Remember Matthew chapter 4, when the devil stepped to Jesus, what did he do? He pulled out a spiritual sword. How do we know that? Because he said, it is written. It is written. Every time the devil stepped to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, he pulled out his spiritual sword and he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Now, the first declaration that we learned is that I am known by God. I am known by God. And that speaks of divine approval. That speaks of divine approval. When God says he knows you, he's not just saying that he has knowledge of you. He's saying that he approves of you to step forward into your destiny. That's what we learned. We learned that as believers in Christ Jesus, the claps of heaven are cheering us on. That's what we learned. We learned that as believers in Christ Jesus, the claps of heaven are cheering us on. That's a powerful statement. Do you remember when Jesus first started his ministry? Do you remember what happened when John the Baptist was with Jesus? What did John the Baptist do? He baptized Jesus in the water. Do you remember what happened when Jesus came out of the water? Do you remember the voice from heaven who said, "This is my dearly beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased"? You know what's interesting about that is that Jesus had done no miracles. Jesus had done no significant things. Jesus had not preached a sermon to thousands of people. He did nothing, yet he had the approval of the Father. And it is the same with us when we are in Christ Jesus. You don't get the approval of God by what you do. You get the approval of God by who you're in, i.e., Christ Jesus. Our second declaration that we learned is that I am formed by God. I am formed by God. And that speaks of being made for the moment. Someone say made for the moment. Made for the moment. You got to follow along with me now because I'm feeling more comfortable week after week. And I got some people in here to preach to. That speaks of being made for the moment. What does that mean? That means that God has used everything that has entered into your life, the good, bad, and the ugly, since you were born. He has used it to form you into the person you are today. That means whatever opportunity is before you, whatever opportunity God puts before you, you could stand up in the power of God and say, I'm made for this moment. I'm made for this moment. My goodness, when you get a revelation that you're made for the moment, ain't no devil in hell can stop you. That's what it means when we say, I'm formed by God. That's why you never back down. That's why you never back down, Pastor Sandy, right? Because everything that comes into your life, good, bad, or hurtful, you can say, I'm made for this moment, and in Christ Jesus, I will overcome this. Why? Because I'm formed by God. And then last week, we learned that I'm sanctified by God. I'm sanctified by God. That speaks of our divine privilege. We operate from a privileged position in this world. We fight spiritually from a spiritual or a privileged position. We pray from a privileged position. We are not stepchildren. We have been adopted into the family of God and have all the rights of the kingdom. I've been sanctified by God. Now, let me talk to you for a moment, Pastor Sandy. As long as you're in the flesh, as long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're in this world, we're going to have to fight insecurity. I don't think there's going to be ever a time where we just lay down our arms while we're in this world and say, that's it, I'm done. No, why is that? As I mentioned several months ago, the kingdom of God is like a great mansion. And in the mansion are many rooms and floors. Each room has an element of God's destiny for your life. So in one room may be your joy, another room may be your family, another room may be your career, right? And as you press into each room, you experience the destiny that God has for you, right? And then when you reach the elevator in the kingdom of God, you say, you know what? I'm going to go to the next level with my family. I'm going to go to the next level with my career. I'm going to go to the next level with my life. And you go into that elevator and you go up into the next level and you step off into the next floor. Guess what? There's going to be insecurity waiting for you right there. That's why the old folks used to say, when new levels come, new devils. The good news is that in Christ Jesus, we could slay that every time. The good news is, if we learn to wield the sword of the Spirit, we can slay it every time. Now, why else are these declarations so important? Why else is this word to Jeremiah so important? The word that God spoke to Jeremiah, why was that so important? This is what I want to deal with today. I'm not giving you today another declaration. I'm going to wait till next Sunday because I want you to practice the declarations you've already been given. I don't want to rush. Some of y'all ain't been paying attention. You need to be taught again. So I need you to exercise these declarations all week long. I'll give you another one next week. I want to kind of just dig deeper as to the importance of why God gives these declarations to Jeremiah. Why was it so critical that before Jeremiah was to fulfill his task, God had to sit him down and give him these declarations and give him this word? Why was it so important for God to give Jeremiah these declarations before he went to go fulfill his assignment? You know why? Because God was forming his identity. These declarations formed Jeremiah's identity. When God told Jeremiah, I know you, I formed you, I sanctified you, he's telling Jeremiah who he is. That's what he's doing. He's telling Jeremiah who he is. He's forming his God-given identity because he did not want Jeremiah to step into that next phase of his life in his own strength, in his own wisdom, in his own ingenuity. No, he wanted him to step into that next phase in his God-given identity. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down? Jeremiah was to operate in his God-given identity, not what the world said he was. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Don't let the world tell you who you are. Now, these declarations are consistent with what God says about us in his entire word. These declarations are revealing our identity to us. I want to kind of dig deep into that. In our study this morning, the cure for our insecurity is operating in our new identity. Write that down if you're taking notes. By the way, you got to get in the habit of taking notes because you'll forget 90% of what I say. The cure For insecurity is operating in our new identity. Our new identity, my brothers and sisters, is one of the greatest blessings under the new covenant that Jesus Christ gave us. God the Father knew that we needed to have a new identity. He knew it. So he told us this several times in the Old Testament before Jesus even came. For example, in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, listen to what he says. He says, I will give you a new, someone say new, a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's good news, my brothers. That's good news. God knew that we needed to operate in a new identity in this world. So he prophesied, he foretold us, there's going to come a time under Jesus Christ where I give you a new ID card for this world. Now, this is consistent with the great renovation plan of God in this world. It's consistent. Did you know that God is making all things new? Did you know that is actually the plan of salvation and redemption? Is that God set in motion the great renovation of this world? That God is making all things new, but it starts with you? God is making all things new, but it starts with you. One of the things that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary is our new identity. I'm going to say that again. One of the things that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary is our new identity. Remember, the cross is the place of divine accomplishment. Remember that. The cross is not just the place where Jesus died, but it is the place where Jesus accomplished for us our great salvation and redemption through his death and resurrection. The cross is the place of divine accomplishment. Remember, we're learning this? I got to remind you. It's my job to remind you. Remember, we gather our confidence in this world from all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. That's where we get our confidence from. That's where we get our boldness from. So you say, Brian, how in the world do you have the boldness to come up here and preach the gospel in front of everybody? How do you have that boldness? I don't have the boldness in myself. I have the boldness by what Jesus accomplished for me on the cross. I look to the cross. That's the gospel right there. Listen, the gospel is not just for unsaved people. The gospel is for saved people also. The gospel is for saved people to center their lives around. We are to be gospel-centered people. Jesus purchased for us our identity on the cross. The moment you were born again, Jesus issues you a new identity or a new ID card to operate in this world. You need to get that. The moment you were born again, the Father issues you a new ID card to operate in this world. The Bible, the New Testament Revelation, teaches that over and over again. Romans chapter 6, verse 7. Listen to what the word of the Lord says. It says, we therefore were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, get this, may walk in newness of life. Get that phrase. That we might walk in newness of life. Someone say newness of life. I need you to get that, because some of y'all are trying to walk in new phases and seasons of your life with your old season. You're taking your old season into your new season, and it don't work that way. We're not supposed to walk in our old life. We're not supposed to walk with our old thoughts. We're supposed to walk in newness of life. That's the new ID card. That's your new ID card. We slay insecurity when we walk in newness of life. That's how we slay insecurity. We slay insecurity when we walk in the newness of the life that Jesus has given us. This is very important. It's very important that you learn how to pull out your ID in this world, your new ID, because the way you access the power and the privilege in the kingdom of God is through your ID. The way you access the power and the privilege in the kingdom of God on this earth is with your new kingdom ID. You cannot, my brothers and sisters, maneuver in this world with power and confidence and boldness if you never learn to pull out your new kingdom ID. Won't do it. Especially the movers and shakers in the kingdom of God. Especially those that are pressing into the kingdom of God, because you're going to be hit with insecurity left and right, because God has given you dreams and visions. God has given you passion to move forward in life. And in order to get from A, B, and C, you got to learn how to pull out your new kingdom ID. Got to learn how to pull out your new kingdom ID. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Good Word translation says, whoever is a believer in Christ... Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. Get that word, new creation. God is making all things new, but it starts with you. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. God has a new way of living for you. It's right before you. He wants you to step into that new way of living. God is making all things new, but it starts with you. New way of living, a new way of thinking. A new way of behaving, a new way of being, a new way of being. I'm thinking of my sister Elsie and her fiancé right now, just in my mind. They're about to get married, right? So there is a new way of living for you guys. This is a little bit of pre-marriage counseling right here. There's a little bit of, there's a new way of living that is right before you, right? You can't go into this new season the way you acted in the old season, because it's not going to fit. It's not going to fit. You can't go into this next season thinking like a bachelor or a bachelorette. You can't do that, right? You got to start thinking like a husband or a wife. You got to start thinking like even a mother or a father, God willing, right? Because you're in a new season, and that new season requires new being, new behavior, new thinking. The problem with a lot of people in this world is that God gives them a new season, but they take the old stuff into the new stuff, and they wreck it. They wreck it. God is making all things new, but it starts with you. The problem with a lot of believers, my brothers and sisters, is they never learn how to pull out their ID. They have the ID, but they never learn how to pull it out. They haven't been pulling out. And Christians have a problem with pulling out their new ID. And so the Bible uses terms over and over in the New Testament. The New Testament uses terms. Put on the new self. Put on the new man. Uses terms over and over again. Specifically in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Listen to what it says. Put on. Get that phrase. Put on. Put on. See, when you receive salvation, God makes you new. But there's a different kind of experience where you got to put that on every day. You got to put that on every day. I love that about God. He makes us something, and then he says, live up to what I already made you. Put on the new self. Put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Why does he say put on? Putting on the new self is pulling out your new ID. Putting on the new self is pulling out your new ID. You could have a boatload of soap and still smell like a skunk if you never pull out the soap. You got to learn how to pull out your new ID, because you'll never tap into the power or the privileges in the kingdom of God in this earth without your ID. It doesn't happen. You got to pull that thing out. You got to pull that thing out. In my 16 years of in prison, I went to about 4 different prisons apart from jail. Went to about 4 different prisons. I went to SRCC, I went to Chino Prison, I went to Ironwood State Prison, I went to Chuckawalla State Prison, I went somewhere else, I forgot. But every time I went to a new prison, guess what the first thing they gave me? They gave me an ID. They issued me an ID. This is one of my prison IDs back in 1997. That was 11/5/1997. That's like 20 years ago, right? 97, 2007, 2017, yeah. This was one of my prison IDs. Now, what's interesting about this is that in prison, you can't go nowhere without your ID. You can't go to Chow Hall without your ID. You can't pick up a package without your ID. You can't even leave the building without your ID. The way that you access what is yours is by pulling out your ID. In fact, if you look closer right here, it says privilege card. That's what it says. Right here, it says privilege card. Listen, God has a privilege card for you in the kingdom of God, and it's called your new identity. And you need to learn to pull it out every time you enter a new season. You need to learn how to pull it out every single day, because in your new identity, you will tap into the power and the privileges of the kingdom of God. You can't even get out your bed without your ID. Hello, somebody. Now, how do you pull out your ID? How do you pull out your ID? Let me remind you. It's by learning to boast in the cross. Learning to boast in the cross. I'm coming back to this statement several times on purpose because I need y'all to get this. This is the key. This is the key to pulling out your new ID. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, he says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." Get that word, new creation, new creation, new creation. That's your new ID. That's your new ID. Remember we learned about boasting? That word boasting does not mean brag. That word boasting is a military exercise where you gather your confidence. And that word cross, it signifies the accomplishments of Jesus. So when you boast in the cross, you gather your confidence from all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And get this. Every time you boast in the cross, you are stepping into your new identity. It forms your new identity. This is why God told Jeremiah, "I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you," because he wanted Jeremiah to operate in his God-given identity and not what the world said he was. So boasting in the cross is gathering our confidence from what Jesus accomplished for us. And the more that we boast in the cross, the more we step into our new identity. This principle of identity is one of the greatest blessings of the New Testament. This is one of the greatest blessings. God knew that in this dispensation, when he unleashes the kingdom of God back into the world, he knew that in order for you to access the power and the privilege in the kingdom of God on this earth, you're going to have to learn to pull out your new ID. God wants you to operate from identity. The devil wants you to operate from insecurity. The devil wants you to operate from insecurity. God wants you to operate from your identity, because destiny flows from your identity. Joy flows from your identity. Peace flows from your identity, not from your insecurity. Insecurity will sabotage everything about you. Now listen to this as I close. I'm going to give you some comparisons between operating in insecurity and operating in identity. And I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to pray for y'all. But listen to the comparisons, because some of you are saying, "Well, how do I know when I'm operating in insecurity?" Because insecurity, it's slick. It's slick. Sometimes you don't even know. Let me give you some handles, okay? Listen to this. Follow along. Lean into this. Pay attention. Lean into this. Listen to this. Insecurity is into titles. Identity is into towels. Insecurity is into titles. Identity is into towels. Do you remember what happened the night before Jesus died? The apostles were arguing about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. Remember that? They were, "I'm going to be the greatest. I want to sit by your right hand." What does Jesus do? Jesus pulls out his towel and he cleans their feet. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, he carried a towel. Our Jesus didn't carry a sword. He carried a towel. And he taught him a lesson there. He taught him a lesson. Listen, my people will not chase titles. That's what the world does. The world chases titles. "Well, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a deacon." No, you need to be what God wants you to be. Never seek after the title. Always chase after the towel, and you'll get there. Insecurity is jealous. Identity is joyful. Insecurity is jealous. Identity is joyful. There's no reason why you should be jealous of someone else's blessing. Not if you're a Christian. You should never be jealous. You should always be joyful. You know why? Because we serve a God that doesn't respect anybody. He's not a respecter of persons, I should say. And if he blessed one person that way, that means that is a sign that he can bless me the same way. That's a sign that, oh, man, maybe God can do that with me. So I'm going to rejoice when my brother gets blessed. I'm going to rejoice when my sister gets blessed. Insecurity lives out of labels people put on them. Identity lives out of the declaration God speaks over them. Be careful about this world. Be careful. Remember, the world is the agent of the kingdom of darkness. And the way that the kingdom of darkness tries to control you is it uses the world to try to put labels on you. And if you're not careful, you'll live out of the labels that man puts on you instead of the declarations that God speaks over you. Every day, the world is trying to label us. Every day, the world is trying to pin us down. But identity lives out of God's declarations. I am who God says I am, not who you say I am, not who you think I am. I am who God says I am. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to get an attitude with that. Sometimes you got to get, no, I'm not what you say I am. I am what God says I am. Insecurity always feels abandoned. Identity walks in the adoption of God. Insecurity always feels abandoned, always feels left out. Oh, you left me out. You didn't include me. There's a spirit of abandonment with insecurity. But identity operates in adoption, that we are the children of the Most High God, and there's confidence and power in that. Insecurity leads to idolatry. Identity leads to inheritance. There's an inheritance for us that I believe we are to receive a lot of it down in this world. I believe we should be walking in our inheritance right here, right in now. The only way you're going to do that is by pulling out your new ID. Last one. Insecurity looks to the bathroom mirror for who they are. Identity looks to the mirror of God's word for who they are. Insecurity looks to the bathroom mirror for who they are. Identity looks to the mirror of God's word. The Bible teaches that the word of God is a mirror for us, that what we see in the word of God should be reflected in our life. And identity looks to the mirror of God's word for who we are. My brother and sister, it's time to rise above insecurity. It's time to break the shackles of insecurity. It's time to pull out your ID. Every time the devil tries to hit you with the spirit of insecurity, a spirit of abandonment, every time the devil tries to wrap insecurity around your neck, pull out your ID, your identity in Christ. The cure for insecurity is operating in your new identity. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening to me right now. We've been on this journey, Father. Lord, I thank you for speaking to them. Lord, I thank you that you're teaching them to pull out their new kingdom ID. They got a kingdom ID. I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to start pulling out their ID, Father God, of who they are in Christ Jesus. Lord, remind them that they're more than a conqueror. Remind them, Father God, that greater is he that is in them than he is in the world. Remind them, Lord God, that they're anointed and appointed for this time. Remind them, Lord God, that they are known by you, sanctified by you, and formed by you. Remind them, Lord, so that they may operate in this world with their new identity and thus access the power the privileges in the kingdom of God. Strengthen them, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let someone give the Lord a hand praise right where you're at.